We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're saying he's going to suck.
I'm concerned. No, I'm concerned. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Forget about it. You either have to say yes or no.
You're going to play well. You're like, or you Mark think he's James, be bad. You just want to make
no,
something up.
You
got to
answer. No, what I want you to do is answer the question.
I'm answering the question.
At some point in time, you have to stop being concerned. You can't go to game four of the Stanley Cup final and then say, now I'm in.
They're playing game one.
Come on.
I don't know, 5-7. They're going to win somewhere in between 5-7.
So let me give it to you a different way, because with Tuukka Rask, it's one of those things where people right now are feeling pretty good, and they should be feeling great about him because he's been absolutely terrific. But for him, if he doesn't win four more games here in this Stanley Cup final, what are people going to be saying 2 weeks from now?
Well, that's not my point. That's my point. Okay, but
he's got to be great.
Obviously, okay? And my thing to you was, at what point in time have you seen enough? When it's all over and said and done? Well, then thank you very much for playing. You'll never put your ass out on a limb and make a decision. So either you've seen enough to convince yourself that 2013 will not come back to haunt him. So either you believe in what you're seeing right now as the new and improved, unbelievable Tuukka Rask that right now has better numbers than Tim Thomas.
It's not improved. So, it's not new. I've seen this before.
Okay, don't dissect the words. Okay, you know what I mean.
But I've seen this before from
him. Okay,
I don't know the future. I would love to know the future.
Have you
make a lot of money?
Are you willing, yes or no, to bet on Tuukka Rask
right now? Yes. I don't think I would.
It's a no. But just say no.
Yes, no.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. So you don't believe it. Then you don't believe in him then?
Yes, no.
So no.
Is that what he said?
Yes, no. He said yes, no. What the hell?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm saying yes to no. Yes to no.
Yeah, no.
It's a new way of looking at it.
No.
Right, that's fine. So you don't.
No, I hope it happens. Christian, hold on.
Okay, but
I hope
that's
it happens,
all I wanted you to
so
say.
So you have faith in him
yes,
right now.
I okay. believe that okay. I've seen enough. Good. Right. I don't need to sit there and go, whoa, you know, the 2013. Oh, man, it's so long ago.
Billy, did you say the same thing about David Price?
Different situation.
No, it isn't.
David Price had
going
never
into
won
the playoffs. What did you say?
And I said no.
He hasn't won a Stanley Cup either.
Honestly, you know what?
He's been very good, except he didn't win the whole thing.
I said yes.
No, I didn't
say yes.
The difference is
you don't even know what you said.
But the difference with these two is that with David Price, forget about a World Series. Like, he's never performed well in the World Series. He's never won a division game.
Yeah, that would be true. Oh, no, you know he did. Hold on. He did out of the bullpen twice.
Well, you know what I mean. Right. Like, it was more of like, this guy can't do it in the first round. With Tuukka, we have seen this before. Against Chicago, I mean, before the Chicago Stanley Cup, 13-14, he had a .943 save percentage going into the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
Not the finals, the final.
Yep.
This year, he's got a .942. Mm-hmm. So you could say slightly better save percentage going into the final.
Right.
And they lost. Now, you could also, I was looking at it, he was really good.
He was good.
In the final.
He just wasn't great.
Well, he had a 932 save percentage in the Stanley Cup final against Chicago. That is really good.
His first three games were great.
Well, if you remember, the triple overtime, first one, right? They lost 4-3, whatever it was, in triple overtime on 63 shots.
Right.
I mean, he got peppered. But it came down to that, you know, that one game, I think it was game four, they lost 6-5. Yeah. They lost three straight.
In overtime again.
And then 17 seconds apart late in that game six. But .932 save percentage, you could sit there and say, well, that's pretty damn good.
I
especially
like
against
you,
that Chicago team.
He was good, but he was the Conn Smythe winner leading up to the Stanley Cup
final. Is
there
a chance that people unfairly put that label on him, given that he was really good in the Stanley Cup?
Yes, because Chicago was a better team.
Chicago was loaded, too.
Yeah, Chicago was
but I'm just saying
a better
offensive,
team.
You know, it's like, you know, Tampa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So St. Louis, they're good. They're not Chicago. I don't think they're Vancouver. They're not Tampa. So if he comes out with a .932 save percentage in the Stanley Cup, and the Bruins lose,
he's going to take the heat.
Well, he did. Oh, he already has.
They always do.
Yeah, you got to see this. I guess you got to see how it is, so, right? I mean, you got to see soft goals or whatever it is. But right. Damn, 932 save percentage of the cup. And we're ragging on him for not winning a cup.
But this is the reason that people, it's been a love-hate relationship with Tuukka Rask for his entire time here. A lot of people wanted to get rid of him in the last couple of years because he was making $7 million. I don't think they should have gotten rid of him. I think he's a damn good goaltender. But he still has something to prove here.
Okay, hold on. That's it. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and just keep going back and forth with you. But, yes, he does have something to prove. And I'll keep using Peyton Manning. The guy's had great before he finally won a Super Bowl. It was okay. He's a great quarterback, but he can't win the big one. And you'll never be considered one of the greats unless you do it. And even when he did do it against Chicago when they played in Miami, or the second time when he did it with Denver Broncos, his numbers sucked. They were terrible games. They weren't come from behind victories, but he still had the Super Bowl victory, so he could kind of put that feather in his cap and walk off into the sunset whenever he wanted to because he accomplished it. But with Tuukka Rask is the same thing. You still have something to prove.
But I also think he's done it in the regular season where they're the same thing, where you've seen him for a couple months and you say, oh, my God, he's just seeing everything. It's like the puck is the size of a beach ball.
See,
he's seeing everything, and then he suddenly slips out of it.
Okay,
and you
fine.
Sit there and say, what's happened to him? And I'm not blaming it just on him because he's a previous, you know, Vezina Trophy winner. I think that's the life of goaltenders. I think they're a strange breed, and that when they're in that zone, they're in that zone, and when they're out of the zone, watch out. And that's what worries me right now going into this thing. What's his frame of mind? What is he going to be like in all of this? 11 days off? Don't take that lightly. I know people who keep on saying, oh, stop it with the 11. Listen, we hope it's not going to be a problem because everybody wants the Bruins to win. I get that. But 11 days off? You're in uncharted territory.
Well, here. That's the thing. Not really. Not really, because we
somebody did some digging.
No, I'm just saying because you know the NFL.
He didn't have to do digging. People were talking about when he came back from the break.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the NFL has a bye week.
It's
a
regular season.
The NFL has a bye week. They have you know, Super Bowl bye weeks and everything. But why is it different?
It's much because the intensity and everything else is raised.
No, but okay, but I understand
those
that.
Those are regular season games.
Yeah, their bye week with the All-Star break mixed in.
Right.
So he played a game January 19th. He lost 7-1 to the Rangers.
Right.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. He lost. It was actually one goal. He must have just come in late in that game. I'm just looking at his game log. But anyways, 12 days in between. 11 days off, basically, right? 19th, his next game was the 31st. He stopped 38 of 41 shots and lost to Philadelphia in overtime.
Gave up three goals. Why did he take the time off? Because he had an injury that they had to deal with.
Was it the injury or was it the did he fly home for personal reasons?
I can't remember, but it was for something, right? Other than this case where he was in a zone. I guarantee you, if you asked Tuukka Rask if he wanted to play two nights later in the very next game, the first game of the Stanley Cup Finals after they had just beaten Carolina, he'd say, absolutely. There's no way he would want to take the time off. Why would you? Even though they had crowds in front of the net, he was seeing everything. I don't know how that's not a concern.
I would say
the Bennington might be looking at 6 days and thinking
all I'm
that
saying
might
is
be
that during
too
the
much
year,
of a layoff.
Because with the All-Star break, and I forget if there was an injury or if that's when he kind of took off to go home, whatever, but he has had 11 days off this year.
Yeah.
And came back, lost that game again, 3-2 in overtime on 41 shots. Then he came out next time out a couple nights later and shut out Washington. Then he came out in 28 of 29 saves against the Islanders, two good teams. So, you know, he has done it, and he's done it this year.
Listen, I hope you're right. I just think it's something to watch if you're looking at what can possibly happen
well,
in this
course.
Series.
I mean, everyone's going to watch it.
Because if you look at the series to this point, who's been the most important factor in
Tuukka.
Bruins being here? No question, but the success pie, 80% is owned by Tuukka right
but
now.
But it's always going to be that way. It's not, always
not
necessarily be that way.
Not 80%. He has dominated it. Without him,
give me a series where the goalie just was average and they won the Stanley Cup. It doesn't happen.
Well, I don't know about winning the Stanley Cup, but you've had teams that have had two different goaltenders and they changed it. Why didn't they stay with the one guy? Because the guy wasn't that good.
But I'm saying Bennington now has gotten his team to the cup.
Bennington's been terrific in the playoffs.
With 9-1-2 save percentage.
Yeah.
So Tuukka's whatever it is, it's ridiculous, right? 942. I mean, all right, if it's 920, it's 915.
And
it doesn't have to be what he has been. you know, there's a good chance that, yeah, they might lose game one. Who knows, right? See, he might just, come out, give up a couple in the first, and they're chasing. But I think overall, within that series, I think he gets it back. I think he gets it right. He may not have to be unworldly to win.
See, it's no matter what, the burden is always going to be on him. Just now, you just said, Lou, that Bennington got his team to the cup. There's more than just the goalie that, yep, you know, that that helped out, that produced, to get them to the stage. But it doesn't matter. Tuukka got him to the cup. So, okay, it just the nature of the position puts all the accountability, unfortunately, on the goalie.
No,
that's
actually
what it is.
Actually, Bennington had a lot to do with it, because once they changed goaltenders, once they had changed out and put Craig Berube in as the coach, it kind of changed everything around.
Like, you would never say, oh, they changed the free safety and they started winning. Oh, they put right. a new defense. Oh, they switched tackles and they started winning. No, it'd be the same. It'd be the equivalent of a quarterback. Wow, the other quarterback sucked. They put this new guy in.
What are you talking about? I spent 2.5-3 months, maybe longer than that, with people saying they changed out the cornerback. Malcolm Butler was no longer playing, and they didn't win. So it was the change the whole
Super
Bowl.
I don't remember that.
Do you remember
nope,
that? I don't remember that well.
I remember you flip-flopping.
Here's the one thing we're going to get sick and tired of. And NBC's already starting to push this. So this is the St. Louis Blues that you're playing. And a pretty good team, and they've got to this point, obviously, as a 3 seed, right, in within their division. The way it works in the division now is
tied for one point off the winning end.
Right. Okay. So pretty good team, but now we're going to hear all of this because NBC is already starting it. I saw a whole piece today with a spokesperson for NBC talks about this is going to be great because of the great rivalry between the Bruins and the Blues.
I did play 50 years ago.
So what people are doing is they're taking, right, 49 years ago, they're taking a picture, right, of Bobby Orr. And let me make this clear, because people get this wrong every time I say it. The greatest hockey player to ever play the game of hockey, ever, in any country, in any world,
Wayne
any
Gretzky.
Galaxy. Nope. Oh. Nope. This guy did stuff. He changed the game. He made defensemen part of your offense, and he was a great defenseman. He was phenomenal. He was off the charts, and he's even a better human being. I've got to know him quite well. He's a better human being than he was as a
all
player.
Right, come on, get
so
to
let
it.
Me get to this.
Oh, you said it all.
Please,
okay.
Yeah, you said it.
And I hate to do this.
Now you're gonna crap him?
I've said this for years,
yeah.
And I heard I got a little worried because I've said this for years, and no, he got pissed at Bobby Orr got pissed at me for saying this, but I heard Mark James actually use this last night, and I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God,
you're gonna have to agree with him."
Oh my God.
Well, what is it?
It's the most overrated goal in NHL playoff history.
Back of front door, and yet, shot, scores! Bobby Orr from Sanderson! And what could be better than that? As they beat St. Louis 4-3. Orr to Sanderson, back to Orr, and they go wild.
Is that, now, here's is why that it's, really the music that's playing in the background? Do you add that?
Here's why it's the most overrated goal. Because the NHL decided about 10 years ago to make it, they did a contest to decide what was the greatest goal in NHL history. The greatest, and they named this one as the greatest goal in NHL history. Think about
why?
This.
Why? Because the
think,
whole...
think about this now. This was game four of a game that already the Bruins owned a 3-0 lead in. Most people thought the Bruins were going to sweep the Blues. You know why? Because the Blues were an expansion team, and they had been swept the previous year and the year before that because they had a whole division, a whole conference of expansion teams. They had the original six. Thank you very much. They had the original six. You know what the original six are? Mutt thinks the Flyers were. What do
well,
you think?
Test me at the end of the show.
Okay.
Test
so at the end of the show?
Yeah.
Here, have another O'Douls. So they had six original teams. They had six expansion teams. And the expansion team winner would take on the winner of the original six, and that would be your Stanley Cup
That's
final.
That's just dumb.
Dumb. That's ridiculous, right? Imagine that.
Well, what happened after
all
that? Why'd they change
shut
the
up.
Rules?
Just shut up. Shut up and play with your chicken. Play with your chicken over there.
What happened next?
So the Blues in 68 were swept, okay? The Blues in 69 were swept. The Blues in 70 were swept, and everybody knew they were going to lose. How is that the greatest goal in NHL?
Okay, I would say that it's not the greatest goal in history, but it's one of the greatest, like, just
picture
yeah, moments.
Oh,
like, still
yeah,
won
it became
the cup.
Iconic.
Great.
It still
yeah.
won the cup, correct?
They won the cup 40 seconds in overtime.
Okay, but it was a game winner.
Yes.
And the picture itself.
Picture is unbelievable.
Okay, so that's
totally
what
okay,
it is.
So
it
so
wasn't game seven.
Yep.
You know,
it
then it would have been.
Or six, or five.
Right, it was game four and a sweep.
Four.
But the picture itself, and it was the actual goal to win the game.
And by the way,
it's all over.
Before that series began, everybody picked the Bruins to win in four straight. Nobody thought the Blues were going to win a game because that's what the Blues do. They go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they don't win a single game. They've been there three times, and they haven't won a single game. So the picture is a little bit deceiving because when you look at that picture, what do you think? You see Bobby Orr flying through the air. What do you think?
You probably think game seven.
You probably think he scored the goal as he was flying and he left the skates.
He scored, then got tripped. The guy lifted his leg up and that's exactly what happened.
He scored, then he got tripped by Noel Picard.
Well, it's funny that you say that because, you know, not being from here and then realizing once I did move here that was what everybody's talking about. It's all over the place. And that's what I thought happened. I thought it was this dramatic
everybody comes from behind.
It's flying through the air. Then knocks the puck in the net. But no, it's almost like a delayed. Hey, I'm going down anyways. I might as well make it dramatic.
It's like the Ted Williams seat. It's very exaggerated.
I can tell you, I remember a goal by Bobby Orr in which he actually left his feet. Thank you very much. Similar to that with the Atlanta Flames. Okay, where he went the whole length of the ice. I remember that.
Glenn,
one.
Tell me about Rocket Richard.
People hated Chris Nyland.
So the problem when you say this is people start going to you, you don't like Bobby Orr.
I love Bobby Orr.
He's a friend of mine. I love Bobby, and he's great, and he's terrific. I just thought that goal, it's in like anything else, as time goes on, and when you're old enough to remember because you were around in those days, when you start seeing how people look at these things, and I've asked people, what do you think happened? What do you think happened in that goal?
This whole segment is all
nostalgic.
It's
me and Buck talking on rocking chairs. But it was people think that. People say, oh no, Bobby Orr was flying through the air and he was able to get that goal. No, it's not.
So I believe
he scored the goal first and then he got.
So
tripped.
I think Tuukka Rask will save the day. Basically, that's what I'm telling you.
I hope you're right.
I think I've seen enough. I believe in him. I think there's enough of a track record this year, not going back all the way to 2013, this year. And I would even say, not to rag on the scrimmage that was a fan fest, it was a great idea. He's just not impressed. He's not impressed with what he did. He's not impressed with the situation that he's in.
Well, that's his personality.
I know, but my point is that I feel like it's even thicker and more obvious now than it's ever been.
Celeric Beck has both scored on him.
It's the first time
he's given up two goals in the first period, I think.
You're killing his confidence.
You know what's funny?
The Bruins did a nice thing last night. They raised some money for their charity, the foundation.
I don't know how much.
I'm sure they also made a few bucks on the concessions.
We're keeping the concession stands.
Free popcorn for the kids.
Did they lower the price of beer? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Probably not.
I'm not drinking beer for a while. But the one thing that I did notice is that the players were kind of, it was nice, but it really wasn't a rally because they had no music. The fans didn't really know.
Yeah, they should have pumped that place up.
Yeah.
You know, just almost like an NBA game, playing music during the game.
But you tell me, though, the NBA playing the music. No, it's stupid when the NBA does that, don't you think? When the guys get the ball?
I hate it. But
it's stupid.
They're playing. Oh, I like it.
You do?
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Keeps me in rhythm. If I'm playing, like, 1, 2, 3, cha cha cha. 1, 2. Yeah, it's like
you would like that in football.
Oh yeah,
because I don't like.
Can't hear anything. The noise doesn't affect basketball players. You're not. There's no.
How
cadence.
Is it not affected?
If you're on offense, I don't want the sound playing whether I'm offense or defense. I don't want it. I can't hear anything on offense. Why would I want music playing while I'm on offense in a home game?
So why would you want music playing if you're playing in an NBA game?
Right. Yeah.
It's different. You know, there's just, it's all about a look.
Hey, why not?
What's up? Go. It's like eye contact.
It's about a look.
You don't think there's
a style? Hold on. Is it not all basically nonverbal communication on a basketball court?
No, there's verbal.
Oh my god. If you told them, you can get 5 guys, whatever, 10 guys. They've never played together. Throw them on a basketball court at some park, split them up, and they just by their body language and hand gestures and wink over there, like they would do it.
This is the NBA. I know, but my point is, it's all nonverbal.
If they cannot run one play without Brad Stevens or whoever, and they would be fine
on defense. You don't think they talk?
Defense is a little different. But still, they would know. Okay, switch. Okay, oh, okay, yeah, okay. I see it coming. I can identify what's going. Okay, I'm going to switch. Okay, you come back.
I think,
okay,
I think you're crazy.
Offensively? Wait, hold on. Honestly, you don't think that? You don't think that like most of it is like nonverbal communication?
No, there's a lot of communication on the floor.
I'm not saying that they don't talk, but if they didn't have it, you wouldn't need to say anything. Okay, yeah, you're rotating the ball, ball moving. Okay, here we go. Okay, go. I saw it the other night.
So when Brad Stevens says we had no communication on defense, it was all just hand signs?
Defense is different.
Yes.
Defense is different, but offensively?
But every time someone brings the ball down the court, someone's playing defense.
Not the whole game, but you can get by offensively without saying a word.
Hey, call play. You probably run the play. But still, you just sort of like push the guy over.
Oh, dribble down. Oh, okay, I'm going to come out, set the pick. Okay, okay.
Just give the ball to Al. He'll figure it out.
He's going to throw it back out to you. Defense is different, though. I'll give you that. You do need to talk.
But they should have livened it up a little bit from what we heard last night.
Would you like this, doing the talk show for the whole 4 hours?
I hate when they do that. I think the Celtics do that on purpose. They know. Oh, my God. How annoying is that?
It's annoying.
What if this was your background noise when you're sleeping?
I think it's annoying.
Instead of, like, white noise, you have this. You think anyone could sleep with that? Probably in the background?
Probably we will not. Definitely not shut up and dribble.
Oh, golly.
But I think that playing the music when a guy is working the ball offensively, it's crazy and it's loud. It just makes no sense.
Alley-oops. Is there any verbal communication with an alley-oop? You don't go, hey, run over there, alley-oop.
No.
You just know it. You see the opportunity. Here comes the guard. Alley-oop. Or what I would call it, a Koopa-loop. That's what we used to call it. Michael Cooper, Magic Johnson, Koopa-loop.
But I still think that's crazy that you're in the middle of a game and you've got this music.
Yeah, I'm not blaring.
I like it, though. Crazy,
huh?
See, if they're
gonna, like it as a fan, but I said to you, if they did it in football and
you think it distracts you, though? I don't think it distracts them. I think if it was distracting them, I would say, yeah, but it doesn't
your cadence as you're running?
Yeah, right. I try to dribble on beat. Drake, play some Drake. Over to my left, over to my right.
I'm telling you, it would screw you up.
Yeah.
By the way, did you guys see the Aaron Baines interview that's out there? I thought they were just going to flip the switch after the whole regular season. They were.
Is he another guy coming out talking about?
I think Lou said it best.
Got to play Aaron Baines more.
I think Lou said it best in the middle of the season. The reason that none of them are talking about getting their act together now and saying, just don't worry, we'll be fine in the playoffs, is because they all knew that there was no way they were going to get their act together.
Pushing it forward. They didn't have to pay the price until the playoffs because that's when they had to prove it. But they just kept pushing this fraudulent narrative that we can just flip the switch once the playoffs start.
This is
and Aaron Baines sort of proves it.
Yeah, we all know we need to be able to play as a team from the get-go and build those habits night in and night out. I don't think we built the right habits throughout the season. Everyone kind of focused on the playoffs, and there was a lot of talk about when we get there, we'll be right, we'll be able to play. But here we go. The key line here. But you can't just flick a switch and play the right way. What are you talking about? The Red Sox did it. The Patriots did it. Duck boats. People, that's what people said, remember?
Mm-hmm. Find the switch, it'll be
but
great.
You can't just flick a switch and play the right way. You need to set it out throughout the regular season. You need to go out there and do it as a team and grind out a routine. And we weren't able to do that at any point this season consistently. I would throw this one right back on Brad Stevens' lap. And I would say, and he admitted at the end of the season, that he didn't do a good job, did a bad job.
Yeah,
right?
He's supposed to say that, but right. I still say that it's personnel-based. I think you didn't have the right personalities.
I did a bad job.
You didn't have the right personalities.
Yeah,
did
he put those personalities in the right position?
Yeah, but he didn't construct the team. He didn't draft the players. He's not paying their salary.
So you think it's Danny Ainge's fault?
Yeah, if you're going to sit there. Well, I mean, you don't think he bears some of the burden?
No, I think because he put together the most talented team, and that's what I want as a coach. I want my general manager, my ownership, to go out there and get the best players. It's my job right now to mix and match and make it all work. And I might have some a-holes, and I might have some issues, and I have
fixable?
To deal with that.
Or is that fixable, though? See, that's my issue with it, okay? Because I agree with you. The coach, in any situation, his biggest responsibility is managing those personalities and how to get them to mesh and to, you know, commit to their.
When it came to that.
But yes, he did. However, I would say the odds of him succeeding were low based on the personalities that he had in the locker room.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Who put the personalities in there?
Danny did.
Danny should have known better.
He put the best talent together.
You want to sit there and blame. You think is if you're going to say if there's two culprits in this situation, right? It's the coach, and let's just call it the locker room. Call it that. And that includes the personalities, the way everybody thinks, how they are, what they want in life, what they want out of their career. There's blame pie. How much is Brad Stevens? How much is the locker room? How much is the locker room?
Brad Stevens is quite a bit of it. And I'll tell
60%.
I wouldn't say 60%. I will do 30%. But I'm not blaming Danny Ainge or the front office. I think Danny did exactly what he was supposed to do. By the way,
Danny Ainge. You would never say
I would agree with Glenn here, because as a general manager, your job is to accumulate talent. And he did that. And you could say, well, maybe he should have traded away Rozier or whatever. He accumulated talent because he doesn't want to trade any of this talent because he might need Rozier to get the guy he really wants, and that's Anthony Davis. So you're not going to trade Terry Rozier for a little piece of this team, and then because of that, maybe miss out on Anthony Davis. I don't know, whatever. So he acquires the talent. You hired Brad Stevens to manage the talent, to get the most out of the talent, and he did not.
Okay, agreed. But there is a relationship that exists that everybody needs to be accountable. I know what type of coach you are. All right, I'm going to bring these guys in. I would say if you get to the trade deadline, it's obvious that nobody likes each other. So we know who the bad eggs are. So get rid of the bad eggs.
Okay, let's go.
You should have gotten rid of Terry Rozier at the trade deadline, regardless, if you thought winning this year was important. But if you didn't and you want to keep him as a trade piece, well, then you know what? Then you just suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah, hold on for a second. Let's not also give a big piece of the blame pie to Terry Rozier. He was a small factor to it.
In the locker room. He's in that part of that office.
You go back to last
How much of the pie? Do you want to eat the whole pie?
No, I don't. I want to eat the whole pie, especially after that. Oh, my God. I still have aftertaste.
Would you eat a Davio steak with an O'Doul's? Would you eat a Davio steak with an O'Doul's?
No, he's a good, nice Cabernet.
That's why he doesn't sell it.
Nice Cabernet.
You're going to ruin the steak.
So let me do one more thing on this thing. So Danny Ainge knows that he's got two of the major pieces coming back. He knows what he's got, the young talent that developed during the course of last year. There wasn't a single person out there that started shouting at the beginning of the season or before the season began, uh-oh, Ainge better get rid of people because this is going to be a problem. Brad Stevens admitted at the end of the season, he admitted that he, after this last game, that he saw this at the preseason. He knew that he had a problem with those guys mixing with each other.
And you're making my point.
So it's on him. No. Rozier, you couldn't get rid of because you still don't know about Kyrie.
So if Brad saw it,
you don't know about Kyrie.
Wait, hold on. Okay, but if Brad saw it, you don't think Danny saw it too? Because they talk, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, but it's not Danny's job to get out.
You don't think Brad
there.
Went to Danny and said, listen, I can't. These guys, they don't freaking listen. Well, do something. Make them pay.
Well, let me ask
They're
you
pros.
This.
They're pros. When am I supposed to bench them? I only have 12 guys.
Let me ask you this. The biggest problem I think he has is dealing with some of these veterans. I think he's much better with the younger kids, developing them as players. So if Danny does his job, and it's all on Danny this summer, Brad's got to get his act together and figure out how he's going to manage this team, right? Coach this team. But it's all on Danny this summer. So Danny goes out, re-signs Kyrie, and goes gets Anthony Davis and maybe plugs in a couple of other holes out there. Then you tell me, Brad Stevens has got to deal with egos like you've never seen before, far more than what he had to deal with last season.
You know,
next season, it is on him.
You know, you say that he has a hard time dealing with the veterans. Like, Tatum was drafted while Brad was there. Rozier was drafted. Jaylen Brown was drafted there. So those three guys alone, Marcus Smart, those four guys alone, they should be his strength. Those guys should be banging the drum of Brad Stevens.
Carson Yabusele?
I mean, he's developing them. Yeah, he's been there since they were
Christian,
babies.
You brought up this point before, too. Like what was it, 2009 when Bill Belichick was I can't get through to these guys. So I would agree. Sometimes you just have a team you can't get through to. You know, but it's still, I'm sure Bill was disappointed in the way he managed that team that year. Because everything he tried, he probably learned from it. He might have had teams like that since then. That because of what happened in 09, he's like, you know what, this is why I couldn't get these guys to respond. And so now I have to adapt in case something like this happens again. So now maybe I do think that was a learning experience for Brad.
Definitely.
Because we all said it was the first time he had a group of stars and a group of kids who have proven themselves. And he's like, how the hell do I make this thing work?
He's got to figure this out.
So he's still a young coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
and hopefully he learns from it. You don't see that again.
Well, the problem was last year people put him up on a pedestal and had him right below Popovich, you know, and that was a huge, huge stretch. All right, coming up in this next segment, I promise, we will give away a pair of tickets to Monday night's game one of your Stanley Cup final between the Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. We're going to give the final code word. We're going to do with that as well the Milton's promotion. And we also have something else quite interesting. Maybe you're not a great athlete. Maybe your kid is not a great athlete. But we have a way in which somebody's telling us now he could make more money than professional athletes. And trust me, I work with two of them. They make lots of money.
That's not true.
Lots of money. We'll do all of that and the Bruins ticket giveaway next.
But just say no.
Yes, no.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
With the first pick in the 2018 NBA 2K League Draft, Mavs Gaming selects Artreo Boyd, a.k.a. Dimes, from Cleveland, Ohio.
What's going through your mind right now? You're part of history now.
Yeah, it's just it's a blessing, man. You know, I worked so hard. I've been playing for a very long time, and just to be standing here right now is amazing.
Unbelievable. That is not the NBA draft. Nope. That is the NBA 2K League draft. Okay? So it is gamers. What's the matter? What's the matter? Oh, you already being...
It's not a real sport.
Oh, we're being judgmental. Look at this.
No, it's okay. Keep going. Where do you want to go with it?
So, I'm going to go with it with... How about Washington Capitals and Wizards owner Ted Leonis? Right? He's an old AOL guy. Remember AOL when you used to...
You got mail.
Yeah, makes all that noise. So, he owns a team here. Team Liquid. He says it's now worth more than $85 million, what he paid for it for the Capitals in 1999. So this is the one that gets me. He owns one of these NBA 2K leagues. He expects that this thing is going to take off. 5 years ago, he predicted that esports would be bigger than the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and MLB combined. But this is the line where he loses me. I believe that in 10 years, one NBA 2K player will be more well-known, popular, and get this, better compensated than LeBron James is today. It's just math.
Artreo Boyd, a.k.a. Dimes.
I don't buy it. That comment right there. Now, part of it, better compensated than LeBron James? I don't know. Maybe. You know, maybe this thing goes bananas and is so much money. But more well-known, more popular? I find that hard to believe.
I tell you what, Lou, I disagree with you. I think... Being more popular and more well-known, or at least as well-known as LeBron James, that would not surprise me 10 years from now. But the more better compensated would, and I'll tell you why. Because I think, unfortunately, and you were two guys that were lucky enough, but you also had the ability, I think there are a limited number of human beings out there that can excel at a high level in athletics. I think the pool for gamers, especially with all of these kids that are playing it at such a young age in this generation right now, I think the pool is much larger. So I would say this. I think the gaming is going to take off, and I think he's right. But guess who's going to make the money? Ted Leonis and the other owners. They're going to pocket more of the money.
No,
they're going to control more of it.
So if I think you guys are crazy if you don't think this is going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. First of all, it's already happening. It's already happening. They're international stars that sell out arenas left and right, and people just sit there and watch them play Fortnite or whatever those Overlord, whatever.
They do it on TV now.
But I will say this, and this is a stat, and maybe not 10 years, but if you think about what LeBron James makes, just call it $30 million. Okay, call it $30 million.
35.
There will be esports athletes that make. Oh. Just that. Okay, not 10.
I agree with the money.
So here's the thing. Listen, if you ever go to these, Real Sports did a segment on this, these esports stars, right. NBA 2K, it was insane.
Madden.
The following that these people had. And I never knew of them, never heard of them, but they sell out arenas.
But what are most of them making?
Right now,
the highest paid ones are making 3.7. Right
okay,
now.
But that's winnings. Not endorsements. That's not.
What's your base pay? There's a base
pay. But listen,
it's not the way
would you say
works
you're
right
in
now.
Your infancy right now?
Yes.
This is taking over.
I'm not saying it's not going to be successful.
Over 200 schools. I think he's underestimating it, actually.
Yeah,
there's
yes.
over 200 schools
Soccer's
right now.
Soccer's going to take over and be the most popular sport in America.
No, there were people that were arguing the X Games were going to be bigger than the NFL.
In 2018, League of Legends, the World Championship, attracted more viewers than the Super Bowl and the NCAA Final Four combined.
Right.
That alone is proof. What are does Mason play?
Yeah, he does, but he's not in the gamer world. He plays.
No, he isn't. But you know what my kids do? No, but they sit there and they watch other people play Fortnite.
Yeah, you're right.
All the time.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, what are you watching? Fortnite. Right. There's all these dudes. One of the guys was in that the NFL 100-year anniversary.
Yes, the video.
The ninja guy, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's ninja.
So if you guys,
ninja guy.
That would make sense. The ninja
got like red hair.
I agree with him 100%. And if you don't think this is on its way, if you don't think guys like LeBron James are going to be, not LeBron James, but 20 years from now, you're going to have a gamer in leagues where are playing their guys $10, $15, $20, $30 million. These guys are going to be raking in the money.
They'll be making a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But I do not think they'll be more popular than the best player in the NBA.
They are. Here's the thing. You know what it is? Different demographic.
Oh, yeah.
So you say more popular than sports fans. No.
It's not good.
There's more non-sports fans than there are sports fans. There's more non-basketball fans than there are basketball fans. So, yes, and internationally, here's the thing. Basketball is, they're trying to grow it internationally in some countries. It's big. Football, they're trying to do it, but they just really can't do it in certain countries. They just don't have they're not into it. But gaming?
No, you just gave
Holy
the answer. No, you
cow.
Just gave the answer, though, with demos. And I would question the demos because what happens is, they're getting huge numbers of people that are watching and gaming right now, but they're all on the younger end, real younger end. So what happens when these kids get married, have kids? Are they still going to be into gaming when they're 45?
Gordon Hayward, hello. David Price, the entire
Red Gordon Spike. Hayward has a lifestyle that allows him to game he does.
I would say it would be off-season.
What about people that have
Normal people don't have off seasons.
Yeah, but so what? You're still watching sports, so you're going to be paid, and there's going to be an appetite for gaming on TV.
Well, there is pay per view.
I know, but it's only. And then, how do players get paid? TV revenue.
But they start at $35,000 when they get signed, right?
I would compare the gaming world.
They got a long way to go to get $35 million.
I would compare That's why I'd say I agree with them, but I think 10 years is a little fast. I would compare the gaming world to the NFL in like 1960, 1970-ish. So that's where you're at right now.
To Glenn's point, you grab that 17, 16, 18-year-old kid, 21-year-old college kid, and he's all about gaming, right? He's all about it. He's following all this stuff. What happens when that kid's 35 and he's got three kids running around the house? He's still following gaming?
Well, okay, when you were 35 and you had kids, did you still watch football?
Yeah, I did.
You play fantasy football, right?
Yes.
What's the difference? It's just one sport for another sport. It makes absolutely no difference, and you're still dedicating time to watching some sort of event, whether it be gaming, rodeo, or football. It doesn't matter how old you are. And I would say it would have even more because these guys are growing up with a different set of just, you know, technology. They're attached to their phones. It's readily available to them. They take it anywhere with them. They watch YouTube. They watch these events. It's good. Get rid of your bikes.
But I would also say
save your bicycles.
I would also say that, you know, when I was
going to be an antique.
Stop.
When I was
athletics.
When I was 23 years old, I would, you know, spend noon till 11 at night watching college football, or, you know, 1 to 9 o'clock at night sitting on a couch watching NFL.
What a life!
You know, I'm just saying, when you're like, when you post grad, you know, when you're just out of school, whatever, you're hanging out on the weekends with your buddies. I don't do that as much now at all. Not at all. So would I still be following gamers and like who the new gamers are as I get
older?
I'm
saying you're getting a new set of fans that are dedicating their lives to this sport. I'm not saying football and basketball fans aren't going to go away, but there's room for a whole another genre of entertainment, and this is what it
is. Yeah, but
And then you know why you should know? You know why you should know? Because every billionaire, every Silicon Valley billionaire is pumping money into this
because they're going to make a lot of money on it.
Celtics crossover gaming selects O'Fab from Missouri.
Oh, he's great. He is great.
Not the college, by the way.
He's really good.
Missouri college. The state, Missouri. Just a kid from Missouri that's really good at 2K. And he's making $35,000 to play for Celtics crossover games.
So you tell me, Ryan, do you think we have a better chance, a limited number of human beings who can excel at athletics or a limited number who can excel at gaming?
Oh, I think there's going to be more people that can excel at gaming.
Thank you.
What Christian's saying as far as non-sports fans, then you got to break it down into how many non-sports fans are video game fans. I don't think there's going to be as many as you believe that there are. It's going to take time. They're going to be popular.
Yes. Well, that's the
other
thing.
Think they're going to be more popular than, you know, what the next Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, but you're in your infancy right now. This is ground zero. Okay, I compared to NFL 1960. Think about all the changes that happened and the money that those guys were making. Do you think guys
What an old man. You are an old bastard.
Jesus.
No. What do you think those guys
Christian,
are saying?
Hey, Christian, can you bring us into the 2000s?
When I was in the league, I remember guys that were older than me, they were like so pissed at the money we were making because when they got in the league in the 80s, they couldn't imagine salaries would be. No,
of course.
It was the fact that the salaries had jumped so high and football became so popular and revenue and TV and this and that. It forced the revenue and the salaries to go up.
Listen,
it'll be the same thing.
I think part of what you're saying is true, except that I think Ted Leonis is full of it when he says that he's predicting it's going to be bigger than the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and the MLB combined. This is a business guy who's heavily invested into it, so he's out there marketing the product right now. And so, yes, I think there's going to be a future with this, but if we're talking about a single professional athlete, and how many NBA
players?
How many NBA players are making over $25 million? You're not going to get that.
So that dude you mentioned before, Ninja guy. His name's Tyler Blevins.
Okay,
he earned almost $10 million in 2018,
and he's a trailblazer. He's Lewis and Clark as far as the gaming world goes. As far as what's possible. If this is the first guy to make $10 million, how many guys are sitting there? Kids are sitting there going, "Wait a second, I can't run. I don't want to get hit. Football, I have CTE.
That's great.
I'm playing gaming.
Generation. So here's that rather than going out and playing and trying to be professionals, they're sitting in their room playing this every day.
Listen, don't get me started. I saw this. When I see bicycles in front of like a Packy store or like a Dairy Queen or something like that.
Packy store.
Is that what you guys call them? Packy store?
Yeah. No, he's got it.
Yeah, you're right. So basically, you take
your bike. Don't you love it when he talks Boston?
I can't do it. Packy stores are called liquor stores.
Yeah.
But you... A group of kids got together and said,
why are they hanging out in front of a Packy?
They're playing video games.
Okay. That's why I say that.
They're playing Miss Pac-Man.
Bunch of 12-year-olds rolling into
Defender?
A Packy.
They play Defender? That's what the arcade games were?
Yeah.
That's what they were for us.
So here's
my point is that when I see that, I go, wow, somebody actually got together and said, they're riding their bikes. It's not the same. Instead, what they do is they log on and they talk to their friends through their little headset.
They do. And I saw a story the other day where one of these gamers is suing now one of the owners because he signed some contract. You may even know about the story, Ryan. He signed some contract and didn't realize it because their revenue comes from these ads, right? Streaming.
It's the only way they're going to get it.
And so the contract he had, apparently, it goes back to the owner. The owner gets like 80% of the money and he gets 20%.
Because what kind of dopey gamer knows anything about the legalese and a binding contract?
That's the problem.
They don't have the
Scott Boris, if he picks up one of these guys, then you know it's real.
Yeah, no, it's coming.
So his monthly, this guy's monthly revenue comes from Twitch subscriptions into account.
YouTube,
which
too.
Between $4.99 and $24.99 per subscriber. He's like Francesa. It's unbelievable. Depending on how much each one
so you
chooses
pay money to
pay
watch Ninja play Fortnite.
Yeah. Wow. That's what you do.
Okay, that's what you were trying to say. Okay, I'm a million.
Oh, I think they'll make their money. I just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Ninja's very popular, right?
He's popular, but just to go back to the genesis.
He's not as popular as LeBron James.
But again, basketball's been around how long? Think about how long basketball and how long they've been able to grow the sport and the stars became bigger and better. And
wait, what year? Celtics? NBA?
46 or 48, I forget. Yeah. Something like that. Late 40s. Oh. Where's the music? Thank you very much. All right, you ready for this? We're giving away a couple tickets. Game one, Stanley Cup Final. You hear me, Dale? Stanley Cup Final. Right now, we'll take the ninth caller at 617-931-0-937. That's 617-931-0-937. You win a pair of tickets to Game 1. That's Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It's Monday night at the TD Garden. The Bruins are back in the Stanley Cup Final. I said it correct, Dale. And you could be there for Game 1. The puck drops at 8 p.m. Select tickets still available. Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. The ninth caller, though, wins two of them right now at 617-931-0-937. You win a pair of tickets to the Stanley Cup Final Game 1.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
Last
Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
And it's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.com. You remember when all the media groups out there, including the Boston Globe, and then they eventually backed down, but they were all trying to get the courtroom, get a judge, to overturn and release the video of the little grab and tuck with Kraft. You remember that?
Yep.
Okay. They didn't succeed. They didn't succeed, so all of that stuff is sealed. And then you had Chicago, and remember what happened to Jussie Smollett out there, the actor? And he lied to everybody, made the whole thing up, but they let him off the hook, and they sealed all of those criminal documents. Well, guess what just happened out in Cook County? A judge has ordered them unsealed. And the reason he did so is because media groups were sitting there going, this is, case is bizarre. We want to see the evidence. And so that evidence is going to start to trickle out now.
Well, the other reason why
is... I was going to say, a lot more to do with him not being able to shut up.
Yeah, he wouldn't stop talking about it.
Well, that's what the judge, I think, pretty much said.
The judge
was
talking, why should I respect this guy's privacy when he's holding press conferences afterwards, when his attorneys are holding press conferences? He's like, oh, you guys all want to talk about the case? Fine. You couldn't just shut up and realize you got a break here? Okay, fine. Here it is. Unsealed.
Yeah, it's this, again,
look at everything.
It's his own damn fault.
Sure is.
He couldn't leave well enough alone. You get out, you get a major break like that, you run, you hide, you don't say a damn thing. He just doubled down.
Yeah. No, he doubled down. That's exactly what he did. And he
did not commit crimes with checks.
And he basically gave him the finger and said, you know, screw you. He still says he is totally innocent.
Sure he
is. When this stuff comes out, it's going to be nasty.
Yeah.
Dale Arnold, and why were you so pissy on Dale today?
I don't like people messing with my boy Dale.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, now you. Oh no, I thought you were.
You were pissed at.
You
him
were
before.
Pissed at Dale.
Yeah, because he wasn't sharing information.
Oh.
He was hiding it.
Oh, okay.
But now, so, okay.
So we do this
now.
Now I want to defend him. We do this little crossover once a week. I don't know why we're doing it. Does anybody
every
know?
Friday.
Like a throwback.
It's like
Friday.
Oh, throwback. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Throwback Fridays.
That's great. So anyway, they do this little crossover. So Dale has to come in today. There's no Jerry Callahan, and there's no Mutt Monansky in there. So instead, you've got Reamer, and you've got Mark James and Wiggy.
Holy
exactly
smokes.
What Dale wants to do at 9:55, okay? And listen, you can hear the tension in this.
So Mark James, was it Lame James?
Lame James.
It's the analyst right
now. Lame James.
Where, what are the analysts? I don't know. Where does that come from?
You were ripping his Brad Stevens take a few weeks ago. You called him the analyst. You wouldn't even give him the honor.
Is that what he was?
Yes.
Oh, what was wrong with the Brad Stevens take, Dale? What's wrong with it?
Oh, it's the... No, never mind. Okay. Do your own show. I'll do my show.
Okay,
all right. 10 o'clock, we'll do our own show.
Okay, no, I want to know. Just tell me. We're doing a crossover here. Let's do it. Like, so what did Brad Stevens do in the postseason?
I'm not going to play your game.
Okay, Stale. Okay,
with them.
Okay, Stale.
Oh, wait, Stale. Okay, play it.
What do we got coming up at 10 o'clock? You and
we will talk to Jeff O'Neill from the NHL. You know what? We'll just let Mark talk because he's the one who just captures everybody's attention.
Uh-oh. Ooh. He called him Stale.
Into his face.
Stale to his face.
What do we got coming up at 10 o'clock? You and
we will talk to Jeff O'Neill from the NHL.
Riveting Radio.
I mean, honestly, I'll say this. Okay?
Let's go because I want to like
Mark
go.
James shouldn't talk about anything about riveting radio.
No, never.
Okay,
and definitely
I heard,
not Dale.
I heard him last night. Oh
should
my
never,
God.
He should never
Dale
sit there and mock
just
Dale.
Slap
how
them.
About them apples?
How about them in a fight, Dale?
Dale would beat the crap out of Mark James.
No question.
You know, Mark James walks in like you think he's like some sort of athlete. Walks in with nothing but like stuff that I would give my kid if his sugar was low. Here, eat all these crackers and candy so you can get your sugar levels up. What the hell, dude? Are you kidding me? And you're gonna sit there and try like he's trying to pick a fight with the one guy that he doesn't want to mess with.
Oh, I kill me.
But it's too serious. He's doing it seriously as
he's
opposed
trying
to
way
doing
too
it,
hard.
He's trying
he's
way
picking
too
a
hard.
Fight with a guy that he knows that he can like get away with it, and Dale's not gonna jump into the fray because he's too good.
See, that's the problem. what does Mark want? Does Mark want him to punch his lights out?
I don't know.
I'll do it for him.
Rags on
I'll
people.
I'll do it. I'll do
no
it for
clue.
Him.
He wants. He's like. He's
I am full 100% team Dale Arnold on this.
I'm just
one.
Amazed that he actually talked crap to someone who was actually sitting in the same room instead of waiting until Saturday and Sunday to talk bleep.
And why? They work at the same company. Why don't they like it? Why doesn't he like Dale?
I don't know.
Like what? Honestly, what has Dale ever done to Mark James?
They worked together over in Nesson.
Have success in radio.
Did Mark James look at the list and go? Maybe Dale.
By the way,
trying too hard to be
have an audience.
Trying too hard to be Kirk.
We're trying way too hard to be like the local, like the tough guy.
Yeah. So don't we have a guy?
Just be you, dude.
Don't we have a guy who actually does really good nicknames coming up this weekend? Isn't Chris Berman doing games? Is it this weekend?
Cleveland series next week.
Is it
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Monday, Tuesday.
I'll be in there Wednesday with
there
him.
You go.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, we had our little non-alcoholic, of course, beer chugging. There's the final results.
Yes.
Christian was first in 2.72 seconds.
Cheated.
I was second.
Shirt off and cheated.
3.79. And Glenn came in third with 10 seconds, 10.32 seconds.
I was trying to get it under 10. 9.7 would have been good.
You're going to have a lot of explaining to do
home. I'm going out to dinner with my wife right now.
I was
going to
say.
Sarah,
you
it was an at, idea.
You're going to smell like a
it's all over you.
Yeah, you weren't at good. Work. You smell
hey,
like
we got
alcohol.
One, we got one more because it's a Memorial Day weekend. And I did not know this. Did you guys know this? And he's totally serious about this. Mike Francesa claims that meteorologists are in cahoots with the travel industry. Did you know that?
Thursday, the 23rd day of the month of May, as it starts for a lot of people, the long Memorial Day weekend. It starts with some rain. It's supposed to be nice tomorrow, though, and Saturday, so it looks like we might get a decent weekend after this rain pulls. Matter of fact, it looks like most of the weekend looks good, but remember, they'll always show you sun on one of the 4 days of Memorial Day weekend, no matter what. This week, they're showing you three because of the fact that they will always make you complete your trips. They never, they'll lie about it if they have to because it's worth too much money with people who have plans
He's
to go places.
Over.
That is always the case on Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day weekends. They'll always give you overly optimistic weather reports. But that's just the way the game is played.
He's lost his mind.
He has.
He thinks they're in cahoots. The meteorologist in cahoots with the, and I saw the video of it. He really believes this.
Really? Sure,
no, I do. I know he does. No, I know he does. He's crossed over to, he's not the old guy, get off my lawn guy. He's just the crazy guy that just, you know, was you always catch like in the supermarket like naked. He doesn't know how he got there. You know, he's just in his socks and his slippers.
This hour of the show has been brought to you by Window World of Boston. Visit windowworldofboston.com today. We got an hour show, so let's spin it. Let's spin it. Let's see who we got on tonight.
I don't really know. I know who it
Dan
is.
Dan Cilio.
No.
Let's see. Let's try that wheel again.
Who's I, Rob Bradford?
No. It's Rob Bradford.
My apologies.
All right, boys. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll be off all on Monday. We got a baseball game,
glad
right?
You
Monday
told
afternoon.
Me. I was going to come in on Monday.
Know. We'll be on Tuesday, though, and we'll talk a lot about the Bruins from that game one. All right, we'll catch you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're out of here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.